all along the Missouri River this year. Communities are marking the 200th anniversary of the expedition that literally put them on the map. But the Missouri River explored by Lewis and Clark was vastly different than the one that now flows from Montana to the Mississippi. And as NPR's Greg Allen reports, there are strong disagreements over just what kind of river the Missouri should be.
No one knows more about Lewis and Clark's Missouri River than Jim Harlan. Harlan, a geographer at the University of Missouri, has spent years poring over old survey maps, entering coordinates into a computer, and plotting the course of the river that Lewis and Clark explored two centuries ago. Much of his data is compiled in a new book, The Atlas of Lewis and Clark in Missouri. Harlan says it's a challenging task because so little of that river is left. To see the Missouri of Lewis and Clark's time, you need some imagination.
Lewis and Clark stopped right over there. It's that mud bank over there. They stopped there in the middle of the day and ate, and that's from there, that's where Lewis took off 4 miles. Some of the men got bored and started prowling around on these rocks right here.
According to their journals, Lewis and Clark stopped here in Rocheport in central Missouri on June 5th and 6th in 1804. They described the 50-foot-tall limestone cliff face, complete with Indian pictographs. Today, the pictographs are gone, but the rock wall, one of several features that helped Harlan pinpoint their campsite, remains. But at least from this spot, the river is nowhere to be seen.
This was the old Missouri River. See this big, low, muddy swamp? The river went straight through here.
In this part of Missouri today, the river is less than 1,000 feet wide. 200 years ago, it was on average more than 2 miles wide. And it was powerful. Harlan says it averaged 6 miles per hour. And at one section, Lewis and Clark measured it at a raging 23 miles per hour. By comparison, the Mississippi River in Lewis and Clark's day ran at a much more sedate 4 miles per hour. Harlan says efforts to tame the Missouri began almost immediately.
When Lewis and Clark came back in 1806, when they came down through this portion of Missouri, they started seeing livestock grazing on the banks, and they fired their guns in the air and cheered at that. But right then and there was the start of the alteration of the Missouri River and its bottoms. They were clearing the banks and the bottomlands of all this timber. And when you do that, you're destabilizing everything.
70 years after Lewis and Clark, the river, called the Big Muddy because of all the sediment it carries, had changed dramatically. It shifted course in many places, eating away the banks in some areas, depositing sand and sediment in others. The Missouri became a magnet for settlers, offering transportation and rich bottomland for farming. But it was also dangerous and unpredictable, until the Army Corps of Engineers intervened. The Corps was on the Missouri as early as the 1830s, pulling snags from the river to help safeguard navigation. In the intervening years, much of the river was turned into a channel. A formerly broad, unpredictable flow was turned into a narrow, deep, controlled navigation route. But on its upper reaches, the Missouri is a totally different river.
What we're looking at here is just a lot of the different features of Lewis and Clark Lake and Gavin's Point Dam.
500 miles upstream near Yankton, South Dakota, is Gavin's Point, a stone and earth dam 2 miles long, one of six dams operated on the Missouri by the Army Corps of Engineers. Operations manager Dave Becker points out the chalkstone bluffs that Lewis and Clark wrote about in their journals. Their campsites and what used to be the river, though, are now underwater, on the bottom of the dam's reservoir, Lewis and Clark Lake. In front of the dam, carp, drum, walleye, and the occasional paddlefish gather in the turbulent water that's just passed through the power plant's hydroelectric turbines. Becker notes several small boats that are just a few hundred yards downstream.
And I'll tell you what, it isn't very often. Maybe 5-10 days in a year, you don't see someone down there fishing. And they're right by the breaks there. You can see most of the current is coming through the power plant, and that's slack water in the backside. And they're sort of fishing that line there between the two, so that must be the hot spot right now.
The Corps built Gavin's Point and the other five dams on the Missouri for flood control and to provide hydroelectric power. In that, they've been successful. But by controlling the flow of the Missouri, the Corps put a stop to the river's seasonal ebb and flow, high water and occasional flooding in the spring, followed by lower water in the late summer and fall. That controlling of the river has led to disagreements and to multiple lawsuits.
This sounds harsh, but I say this is really a ditch.
Chad Smith has spent time along every part of the Missouri's 2,341 miles. He's with American Rivers, an environmental group that is fighting in court to force the Army Corps of Engineers to restore the Missouri's seasonal flow, a natural rhythm that Smith calls the river's heartbeat. Smith says you can find some parts of the river today that resemble the Missouri of Lewis and Clark's days, mostly in the upper reaches in Montana. But he says along the rest of the river, including this section in the DeSoto National Wildlife Refuge just north of Omaha, Nebraska, the Missouri has been changed beyond recognition.
If you go back and read the journals of Lewis and Clark, the river, they noted in their journals that the river was a couple miles wide and had big banks caving in and trees falling in and sandbars and shallows. And we don't have that anymore. This is a uniform ditch, a uniform canal. The banks are rock-lined. The river's meanders and side channels have been cut off and for the most part are gone.
Even the Army Corps of Engineers now admits it may have done some of its job too well. Recently, in an effort to help endangered species of birds and fish, the Corps began working to artificially recreate some of the sandbars and the side channels it eliminated when it first tamed the river. Environmentalists concede the benefits of hydropower, flood control, and navigation, but say what they want is to restore just a little of the Missouri River's wild heritage, just a bit of what Lewis and Clark marveled at two centuries ago. Greg Allen, NPR News, Kansas City.